You know, Local 5, the Hawaii Hotel Workers Union, says only 2,000 of its 11,000 members are working. Most are laid off because hotels are not operating at full capacity. Hotel workers will be eligible for vaccines under the priority group 1C, which could be in line for shots later this month or in April. At the Halekoa Hotel, the military's hotel, vaccines were offered to its workers who are Local 5 members early on. Union leader Eric Gill hails those efforts, but he says he's concerned that new CDC guidelines now include only front-of-the-house workers. He's advocating that the back-of-the-house employees have priority, too.
We're the ones who meet the guests, and now we're letting people in who are positive for COVID and putting them in the hotels. You know, and according to the governor's latest proclamation, that hotels are told to keep people who check in with positive or who are waiting to find out. And so basically, unless the hotel workforce is vaccinated, there's a real danger that COVID can get loose. And so obviously we think it's better for our members, obviously, but also for the people of Hawaii. Our members go home to their families, and many of them live in multifamily houses and so on. So to protect the community, we have to protect hotel workers. We are essential to Hawaii's economy, and basically we're the ones directly facing any incoming COVID infection. So, yes, it makes complete sense for Hawaii to prioritize hotel workers for the vaccine.
And have you been invited to come to the table to talk about how this might roll out?
Well, we certainly have had discussions with the governor and his people. It appears that the state is hoping that the tourism authority will be able to work out kind of a consensus arrangement that would involve us and the management forces. And so we're certainly going to cooperate with that. We have an alliance with the Hotel and Lodging Association nationally and here locally as well. We're discussing this with them. So we will be cooperating in a campaign to vaccinate our members and other hotel workers.
We were hearing about local companies like Zippy's, you know, offering incentives to get their workers those shots. Tyson Foods in Arkansas, you know, same thing. They're offering 4 hours of pay for their workers to get vaccinated. They have, I think this week, they're doing on-site vaccinations at their plants in Iowa. Do you think there's going to be some kind of mass vaccination site for hotel workers? Would you like to see that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. The state appears to be wanting to work through its vaccination centers. You know, we're involved with a program to get our 75-year-old members and others to those places. And it involves getting people reservations, you know, making appointments basically through the website. So we're assisting some of the older people in doing that now. And certainly we want to do that for the rest of the workers as well. It isn't clear to me that the state will be setting up remote sites to do this. Certainly the hotel has facilities, but we're not yet sure where the hotels will land on any incentives. We haven't seen the hotels willing to put out much money over the last year for anything, and I'm not sure that there's money for this either.
Well, I think everybody would like to see folks feel safe enough to return to work. You know, we would like to see more visitors so that more people can be called back to work, because that's been a really tough situation for a lot of your members.
Yes, and it's going to remain tough regardless of the vaccine, because the hotel corporations are taking advantage of this crisis to make permanent cuts in staffing and services. And this is something that is happening and has been happening. So there's no question that, you know, that given left to their own devices, our owners and operators will leave substantial numbers of furloughed workers furloughed even when occupancy comes back. But certainly in order to get occupancy back, we have to be able to maintain safety for our community, but also be able to project safety for our guests. And so, again, the vaccination is an important piece of that. It's not sufficient in and of itself, but it's an important piece, obviously, to try to, you know, block any infection from spreading out of the hotel campuses.
And I don't know what you're hearing from your members. Just this week, there was some concern expressed by the Catholic Church about the Johnson & Johnson vaccines. And I don't know if your members are Catholic and if that's going to affect how they feel about the vaccines, you know, and I'm not sure if they have a choice.
Yeah, look, I think there's many people who are hesitant to take the vaccine have many different reasons, and you can layer a religious reason onto that. And certainly many of our members are Catholic, so I haven't confronted that yet. I'm not sure what impact that will be. But certainly what is needed here is real clear information and training. Obviously, there's a lot of misinformation out there anywhere you look, and people who are making it their business to lie about things. You know, we recognize that our members need confidence in the science, and so we're also working on training programs to basically give people the information they need to make an informed choice. We are urging our members to get the vaccine. There is one disturbing piece in all this, which is the CDC and somebody came up with a bright idea of vaccinating only the front of the house workers. And anybody who's worked in a hotel knows that that's a foolish idea. So the state needs to abandon that notion. You know, we need to vaccinate basically all the workers in the hotel. There's no worker that's isolated from guest contact or isolated from workers who have guest contact. So, you know, vaccinating half the hotel is like putting up half a fence. You know, it doesn't keep anything out. So we need to make sure that is addressed as well as we go forward. Then obviously there's a question of, you know, vaccinating people who haven't yet returned to work. You know, as situation emerges from, you know, the worst parts of this pandemic, you know, more people will be called back. And are we going to vaccinate the people who are going to be called back when it gets busy or not? Again, if we don't do that, then we are putting up a fence that has only one or two sides to it. So we're struggling with all this, and we'll wait and see, obviously, what the state comes out with. But we are hopeful that they will prioritize our members and other hotel workers and address both the front and the back of the house.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're talking a layer of protection, so it wouldn't be right to say, okay, well, you back of the house people don't have to wear a mask, but the front of the house people do, right?
We're going to be wearing masks, I'm sure.
Yeah.
No one is yet sure about transmissibility or, you know, if people can get it again or transmit it. You know, a lot of that data is still out, so it'd be a mistake to just rely on the vaccine. Obviously, there's other issues about new variants and so on. So it's clear that we're going to have some long-term amendments in hotel operations to address this kind of pandemic conditions. This is not likely to be the last pandemic we face. And so, you know, there's some permanent things we have to do to sort that out. The problem, of course, is those things, safety costs money. Bringing people to clean more costs money. You know, leaving space around people in restaurants costs money. Those things all cost money. And it isn't clear to me yet how much investment our hotels are actually going to put into the long-term safety issues. You're exactly right, though. I mean, if we don't have a strong bulwark where we are, then, you know, all of our people go home at night. So if we don't have a strong bulwark on infection at the hotel level, then, you know, the transmission into the community is almost assured.
Do you know, like, the average age of your members?
Historically, it's been in the mid to late 40s, you know, 46, 47, around there. Fairly senior workforce in our unions because of the excellent contract that we've developed over the years, which makes those jobs attractive for mm-hmm. people to keep. In the hotels, only about 20% or less of our members are working at this point. A year ago, before the pandemic shutdowns, you know, we had about 11,000 members. There's fewer than 2,000 of those working now, far fewer than that. Again, you know, membership, you know, in the union context means paying dues. Some of our furloughed members can't pay the dues right now.
Right.
So some of these numbers are in flux. But the real amount of employment back in hotels is quite small still. The hotels are trying to avoid bringing people back in. And, of course, you know, there's been spikes in occupancy. For example, I think it was Valentine's Day weekend. You know, some of our places were up 40%, 50%. But then on Monday, it goes down to 8. So people do get called back in and then put back on furlough.
Oh, wow.
So it's touch and go for people. There's
right.
not too many people working full-time now, I would say, in each hotel, dozens. Most of our corporate owners, you know, they built a real estate bubble, you know, commercial lodging sector. And that bubble has burst, obviously, over the past year when all the hotels, in essence, made no money. And therefore, you know, some of the loans and bonds and, you know, variously structured debt instruments to buy hotels have been overwhelmed by non-performance. And so that's the reason that hotel owners have not put up money. They basically got caught short in the musical chairs and the bubble burst, and whoever's holding those notes is the last one standing. And so in the civilian side, that's the situation. Obviously, with the military in the federal facility, you know, that is funded by revenues that aren't even, you know, the Holy Cross part of the morale, welfare, creation. It's not funded by Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and they have a guaranteed base, you know, that, and so, you know, and also tax breaks, right? You know, Halicoa doesn't pay water tax, sewage fees, and that sort of mm-hmm. thing because they're on the federal base. So there's certain advantages at Halicoa.
Right.
And Halicoa has actually been pretty exemplary in the safety measures that it has taken and has been very good about working with our committee and our leaders to address safety issues. So, you know, in some ways, you know, that hotel is almost exemplary in safety yeah. issues. You know, and I know some of the hotels are looking over there.
Right.
We've recommended that they do that. Some of the hotels have spoken to Halicoa
oh,
people.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I mean, they do kind of compare notes. You know, if the owner won't put up any money, then you can't bring people in to clean. So the civilian hotels are kind of hand-to-mouth, so they got to get some cash flow up. And so some of the cleaning and the preparation and all that detail work just hasn't been done. You know, there are many, many situations where workers' safety remains at risk. But I would say probably the biggest one, given the fact that you know, this is a aerosol transmission of this disease. You know, when the guests won't wear a mask, it's a real problem
yeah.
for workers. It's just not fair.
That was Eric Gill, head of Local 5, one of two unions who represents hotel workers across the state.